John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 tells us that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And a couple of weeks or so ago, we studied, spent some time together, discussing what it means to worship God in spirit. And this morning I'd like for us to spend some time talking about what it means to worship God in truth. This is another of the topics that the men have asked me to discuss with you. And so I hope that you will focus this morning as we consider the idea of worshiping in truth. The word truth refers to that which is real, actual, that which is accurate, factual, in contrast to that which is false, or lying, or pretense. And so the idea is that what we do in our worship to God must not only be meant sincerely from our heart and spirit, but it also must be according to truth, according to that which is really right, that which is correct. What we're going to see this morning is that that truth is revealed in the Word of God, and that our worship then must harmonize with the pattern that God has given us in the Scripture. So let's spend some time together this morning then considering what's involved in worshiping God in truth. And the first thing that I want to emphasize is that in our service to God, as in general, but specifically in worship, the truth is determined by the Word of God. And that message for us today is revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the teachings of the New Testament. So if we're going to serve God in truth, worship Him in truth, we've got to know the proper source to go to, the proper standard to reveal the pattern that we follow. Now I know that many of you, if you've been Christians for very long, have heard this point emphasized several times, and maybe many times, and have a concept of what it means to worship in truth. But follow me carefully this morning. I think I want to approach this maybe somewhat differently than what maybe you might anticipate, or maybe not, but at least as I studied it, it came out in a different way than what I had anticipated that it would. So first of all, we've got to worship God according to His Word. Now, this concept is emphasized throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. Whereas the Old Testament, maybe the form of worship was different from the New, one thing that is consistent from the Old and the New is it always has to be according to what God says, according to what He has revealed in His Word. So look in Psalm chapter 111, for example, with me, and verses 7 and 8. Psalm chapter 111, and verses 7 and 8. The works of His hand are verity, that means truth, verity and justice. All His precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. All right, so Jesus, or God's teachings are sure, His precepts are sure. Everything He does is true, but then that means what He teaches is going to be true. And His instructions are done in truth and uprightness. The point is God never speaks falsely. When God teaches from His Word, He's always going to tell us what the truth is. And so it follows then that our worship needs to be, of course, then to what He says. Bring that which is true if we're going to worship in truth. Now, the 119th Psalm, this concept is mentioned a number of times because this is a whole chapter, as I hope you're familiar, talks about God's Word, exalting the importance and the value of the Word of God to us. And a number of times it shows that it's valuable because it's true. For example, verse 128 of Psalm 119, verse 128, says, therefore I love your commandments. Excuse me, that was verse, well, go ahead, start 127. Therefore I love your commandment more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Everything God teaches is right. In contrast, that which is false. So in other words, it's right in the sense that it's true. Verse 142 of the chapter. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Verse 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Verse 160. The entirety of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So, notice, I hope you notice as we look at those verses, God's Word is truth, and it's all truth. Everything, the entirety of it, the whole, everything He says is true because God never speaks falsehood. He never lies. We can always trust what God says to be right. Never wrong. And that's true in everything about our service to Him. Everything He tells us to do. Which then includes specifically our study this morning and our worship. The ways that we praise Him, His Word is going to tell us the truth. If we're going to worship in truth as well as in spirit, then it has to be according to what He tells us in His Word. We come to the New Testament, it says the same thing. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. See, just like the Old Testament. Or Ephesians 1 and verse 13, the Word of the truth is the gospel of our salvation. Colossians 1 and verse 5, they heard of the hope of heaven in the Word of the truth of the gospel. So throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, God's truth is found in His Word. So if we want the truth about how to worship, we've got to go to the Word of God. But now for us today, that truth is revealed through the teachings of Jesus. In the New Testament, He is the one who God has sent to reveal truth. So look over in John chapter 14 and verse 6 now, and notice what Jesus says. John 14 and verse 6, having come to teach and ultimately to die for us, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. I want to emphasize two things in the verse. He's the truth, and there's no other way to come to the Father except through Him. Now, in what sense is that true? That we can't come to the Father except through Jesus? Well, I believe that's true in any sense you can think of by which you might think of coming to God. Salvation. Can you come to God for salvation except through Jesus? No. In the church. Serving Him in the church. Can we serve God in the church except through Jesus? No. But in particular, in worship. Can we worship God? Come to God and worship except through Jesus? No. He's the only mediator, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. He's the only high priest. The book of Hebrews makes that point over and over again. So, in any whatever sense the gospel shows that we need to come to the Father, we can only do that through Jesus. He's the only one who makes that possible, in particular in our worship. We cannot worship God properly except through Jesus. Why? Because He's the way, the truth, and the life. He has the true way to come to life through the Father. So we must approach God entirely through the truth taught us by Jesus. No other source, no other truth, no other way. You can't come to the Father except through Him. He's got the truth, and there isn't any other truth except what Jesus gives. Now that becomes very, very important then as we talk about how we're going to worship God in truth. And that's why so often the Scriptures tell us then that we need to listen to Jesus. Matthew 17 and verse 5, the transfiguration. When the Father spoke from the cloud, He said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear you Him. Listen to Him. Why? Because He's the one that's got the truth. John 18 and verse 37, as He was standing before Pilate, Jesus said that He came into the world to bear witness to the truth. He said, everyone who is of the truth hears My voice. See that? If you want to know the truth, then you've got to listen to Jesus. Because He's the one who has the truth, and there's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. His truth. Listen to Jesus. Acts chapter 3, then, verse 22 and 23, says we must listen to Him in all things that He says, whatever He says. And if we don't, those who don't listen to Him will be destroyed. So the only way to serve God in truth, particularly the only way to worship God in truth, is according to what Jesus said. There is no other way that we can worship God in truth except according to what Jesus says. Now we know that the way Jesus teaches us is through the Scriptures, the Gospel, the New Testament. So in John 16 and verse 13, He promised the Holy Spirit would guide His apostles into all truth. So there it is. Jesus had the truth. But He said, I'm going to leave, and you'll need the Holy Spirit to come and give you the truth. But the truth was through Jesus. He sent the Holy Spirit. But then the apostles would have the truth, and then they would teach it. And so in Luke 10 and verse 16, He says, He who hears you hears Me. You see? Jesus had the truth. The Holy Spirit, He gave it to the apostles. So when we follow what the apostles taught in the inspired word, the gospel of the New Testament, that's Jesus' truth. And that's why 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 then says, the scriptures are inspired of God to instruct us in righteousness and to provide us completely to every good work. The apostles wrote it down. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. So Jesus is the source of all truth in our service to God today. We can only come to God through Him in particular in worship, but He has spoken that truth in the New Testament, in the gospel that was written by the inspired men by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So if you and I want to worship God in truth today, it has to be according to the gospel. We need to find in the teachings that Jesus has revealed what we do in worship to God. Everything that we do, because you can't come any other way. Now that's so critical. We come through Jesus, but there's no other way. No way except through Jesus. So then the question for you and for me is the things that are the things that we do in worship, everything that we do in worship, is it based in the teachings of Jesus? Are we following Him in what we do? In everything in our worship. That's the first point. That is, truth is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible. But specifically for us today, the truth in regarding our worship is found in the gospel, the teachings of the New Testament. But if we can only come through Him and there's no other way, then it follows that any human authority is not the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come except through Him. And so you can't come by human authority. The things that men teach that are different from what Jesus teaches. That's what I mean by human authority. I'm talking about things that men have invented. And in particular, in the context of our study of worship, ways that men have invented to worship Him that are different from what Jesus said. Now, the same principle applies in any area of our service to God, salvation, the church, and so forth. But we're applying it in worship. But if Jesus is the only way to the Father, and He has the truth, and that's the only way, then anything different from that, anything human in its origin, is not the truth. And it won't work in trying to come to God, in particular, in worship. Now look at some verses that I believe teach that point, that we may, at least I hadn't thought in those terms necessarily, until I'm preparing this lesson. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Titus chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, as the instructions are given to the elders here to watch out for false teachers, going back to our Bible class this morning. Titus 1, 13 and 14. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. Now think about that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to the Father except through me. But now here are men who've turned from the truth. That is, they're trying to come to God some other way. They're not coming through Jesus. They've come through some other way. How? Through Jewish fables or commandments of men. They've got their own commandments. Not Jesus' commandments. They've turned from the truth, so they're not teaching Jesus' instruction. They're trying to come another way. And so, the pastor says they need to be rebuked. So what have we got from verses like this? Well, Jesus' word is the truth. The only way to the Father, can't come any other way. When you follow teachings that are different from that, then that's turning from the truth. And if it's different from what Jesus said, it had to come from somebody. So who did it come from? Men. Well, it may have come from Satan ultimately, but it came through people. And so some man invented it. It's different from what Jesus said. Jesus didn't reveal it, so some man invented it. And so the people who teach it and practice it need to be rebuked. Well, look again. Look at Titus chapter, 2 Timothy now, chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Preach the word. That's the teachings of Jesus, you see. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Let me turn aside to fables. There it is again. People turn away from the truth and follow fables. Well, what's the truth? The truth is the teaching of Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And you can't come any other way. So when you turn away from the truth, what are you following? Human doctrines which the passage calls fables. Fables. Or, as he said earlier in the verse, it's people that they don't want the sound doctrine. They have, he said, they won't endure the sound doctrine. Well, that's the truth. That's the teaching of Jesus. But they don't want that. They want to follow their own desires. You see, it's human in its source, in its origin. What do we do about that? He says, preach the word, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. So again, following teaching that men have invented, teaching that differs from what Jesus taught, is turning away from the truth. It is following fables. And to help people avoid that, then, we must be sure that we're preaching what, the truth that Jesus taught, that which He has revealed in His Word. Well, look again. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Brethren, listen again. If anyone among you wanders from the truth, there it is again. They wander from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Think about what that means. Jesus' teachings are the truth. Here is a brother who has wandered from the truth. Well, what's he doing? What's he following? If he's not following the truth, then he's not following what Jesus is teaching, so what's he following? Human teachings? Man-made teachings? That's what's left. If it's not the truth, if it's not what Jesus says, then he's following man-made teachings. It may be his own ideas. It may be something that somebody else made up, but it's not what Jesus teaches. He's wandered from the truth. What's his condition? He's following human teachings, not Jesus' teaching. What's his condition? Well, if you save him, you turned a sinner from the error of his way. Well, that's where he is now. When I follow human teachings, not Jesus' teachings, I'm a sinner. I've wandered from the truth, and I'm in error. And if somebody will turn me back from my error, they will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's, as far as I can see, that's a description of what happens when we follow human doctrines. When we follow the teachings of men, because Jesus' teachings are truth. When I follow something else, it must be the teachings of men. And my condition then is I'm in sin. I'm in error. I'm facing eternal spiritual death. And what I need is for somebody to love me enough to turn me back and save my soul. And that's what you and I need to do then, for those that we see around us who are involved in human teachings in any area, but specifically, that is in service to God, but specifically in worship. The truth is what Jesus says. Things that are different from that are human teachings, and they won't work. They simply will not save. We'll try it again. Look in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is written to Christians who had the problem we're talking about. They wandered from the truth. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. You were taught about Jesus. You were taught about His death. And therefore the importance of following Jesus, but you're not following Jesus. Somebody has bewitched you. They've tricked you. And now you're not obeying the truth. Well, if they're not obeying the truth, what are they obeying? Human teachings. You see, Jesus is the truth. Anything different from that is not truth, and it's human in origin. So when we follow human teachings instead of what Jesus says, then we are not obeying the truth. Chapter 5, verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You see that? When you follow the teachings of Jesus, that's the truth. But when somebody leads you into some other teachings, they've hindered you from obeying the truth. Well, what are you obeying if you're not obeying the truth again? Well, you're obeying the teachings of men, human doctrines. Now, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. This is the part that we often look at, but think of it in terms of these other verses. I marvel that you are turning away, there it is again, turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Why? What's the problem? If it's a different gospel and I follow it, what's the problem? It's not the truth. That's the problem. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth. And you can't come to the Father any other way. So when I'm following something different from the gospel that Jesus has revealed, then I'm turning away from Him who called me. When I teach that, I'm accursed. When other people follow it, they are not obeying the truth anymore. And so all of this matters about truth, because Jesus has the only way to serve God in truth. And human teachings or anything different from what Jesus said causes us to be accursed, and those who follow those teachings are not obeying truth. Now tie that to 2 John verses 9 through 11. So I hope you maybe at this point begin to see, now we're getting to some of the passages that we're more familiar with, but I hope that maybe we are motivating what this is about now. You see that the issue is truth. The issue is what Jesus says. So, 2 John verses 9 through 11, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Why? Why does it matter? Because the doctrine of Christ is the truth. This is the way it really works. This is what really pleases God. If you want to have the Father and the Son, you have to abide in the doctrine of Christ. What if I transgress and I'm not abiding in the doctrine of Christ? Well, what am I abiding in then? Human teachings. Things that men have made up. And so if I want to be right in service to God, especially if I want to worship Him acceptably, I have to do what Jesus has revealed in His Word. Now verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for you greet him shares in his evil deeds. See, don't encourage somebody who is not teaching the teachings of Jesus, because what he's teaching is human doctrine, and it's not truth. Don't fellowship that, don't encourage it, but as we've seen in these other passages, rebuke it. That's why we have so many other scriptures that warn us about the danger of following human teachings. That's why Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right to a man. You see, it's human teaching. It's human reasoning. It's not divine teaching. It seems right. It seems true to the man, but it's not what God said. So, the ways are death. And 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3, that's why we are to charge men not to teach any other doctrine. Why not? Because Jesus' teaching is the truth. Other doctrines are human teachings, and they're not the truth. And so we must obey it, charge them not to teach it. And that's then the point of Matthew 15 and verse 9. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Why is it vain? Why is it vain, empty, worthless to teach the doctrines of men? Because it's not the truth. You can't come to the Father anyway except through Jesus. Or as in verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. The doctrines, the commandments of men are not truth. They are vain worship. And Jesus is applying that here specifically then to worship. So, when Jesus teaches us that we need to worship God in spirit and in truth, we need to understand that means we worship according to the way God says in His Word. But it's going to be revealed through what Jesus teaches in the gospel, and nothing else will work because it's not true. Now what about our worship? The things that we're doing in our worship, can we find them in the truth? That is, in the gospel. Can we find each thing that we do when we come together in our worship to God, can we find book, chapter, and verse that authorizes, that teaches, either in general terms or specifically, but said that's what He wants us to do? Or are we following human teachings? If we want the truth, it has to be what He says in His Word, not human teachings. So those are the first two points. God's Word is the truth. Human authority is not the truth. If we want to worship God with truth, it has to be according to what we find in the Bible. But now the third point means then, if we're going to respect truth, we've got to do what it says. We've got to obey it. So worshiping in truth is not just knowing the truth, or even believing the truth, it's doing it. Putting it into practice. So, In John chapter 3, verse 21, it says, he who does the truth comes to the light. Well, the Word of God is the light. That reveals the truth, you see. So, the teachings of Jesus are revealed in the Word of God. That's the truth. That's the light. That shows me how God wants me to get. But the person who's going to appreciate that is the person who's willing to do it. It's not enough just to know it or believe it. I've got to do it. My concern for truth in every area of service to God, but specifically in worship, must be, I want to do it. I want to live it in my life. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Again, another passage we're familiar with, but think about it in terms of what we've been learning about truth. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Well, why do I have to abide in Jesus' word in order to know the truth and to be his true disciple? Because his word is the truth. That's the truth. Jesus' word is the truth. If I want to be his true disciple, if I want to be made free and be a true disciple of Jesus, I must abide in that truth, that word. I have to know it, yes, but it's not enough just to know it. I have to abide in it. I have to live by it. I have to put it in my life. Or Romans chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. Romans chapter 2, and verses 7 through 10. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There it is again. Here's the idea again of people that don't obey the truth. Truth must be obeyed. Back to the other scriptures. The people who are not obeying the truth, these are those who have wandered from the truth. They have turned away from the truth. They are following the teachings of men. They're following other ideas, not what Jesus said. They're not doing what he said. But if I'm going to appreciate the truth and benefit from it, I've got to do it. Look at how that's over and over again. Eternal life for those who do good. Those who do not obey the truth, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, on every soul of man who does evil. Glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. You see? As we apply this now to worship, worship in truth is not just saying, we got it right. We're doing this right and this right and this right and this right. No, it's we're practicing it. We're living it. It means something to us. Important enough that we see the value to be here. We see the value to do it. That's not my name is on the roll of a group that's doing things right. No, I am doing it because it's the truth. It's because it's what the Lord wants me to do. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, we purify our souls in obeying the truth. Not just in knowing it, not just in believing it, but in obeying it. And the purifying of our souls, he goes on and shows in the next verses, is the being born again. But the truth is the Word of God. So we're born again by the Word of God, which he says then is the gospel, which will live and abide forever. It will always be here. But the point is, we've got to obey it. It's here. It can benefit me, but I've got to obey it. I've got to apply it in my life to get that benefit. And that's why 2 John verse 4, John said, I greatly rejoice to hear that my children walk in truth. And 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Yes, we should rejoice if our children know the truth. And I don't think he's talking about his spiritual children here, but the point is, we should be glad that they know the truth. We should be glad that they believe the truth. But ultimately, it benefits us only if we walk in the truth. Live it. Apply it. And again, that's true in all areas. But now, how about worship? Our practice in worship to God. What we do must be truth. What Jesus says. Not human teachings. What Jesus said. But we've got to have enough conviction about it that we are willing to do it. To do it. To live that kind of life. Now, what about your practice? What about my practice. Are we faithfully and regularly doing the things that Jesus teaches about proper worship? Not just that we know this is right. Not just we're a matter of a member of a church that's doing what's right. We are practicing. We are doing what's right in worship to God. And then the last point and the conclusion that necessarily follows from everything that we've said is that unauthorized worship is disobedience to the truth. If I believe in truth, if I value truth in worship, I've got to do what is right. We've already learned that human doctrine is not right, is not truth, and therefore it follows if I worship according to human teachings, I'm disobeying God. I'm not, no matter how diligent I am in doing it, no matter how zealous and committed I am, if I'm not doing what Jesus said, then it's not the truth. I am disobeying. It's not just indifferent. It's not just, well, it's okay, but it doesn't make much difference. No, it's disobedience. When I do things that, it's wandering from the truth. When I do what men have invented, that's different from what Jesus said. Now, the Bible gives us all kinds of examples in the Bible itself of people who did that. Think of the first example that we can think of in the Bible of people who worshiped God. Cain and Abel. And what happened? Well, the Bible tells us that Abel's worship was acceptable, pleasing to God, and Cain's was not. God did not accept the worship of Cain. Now, I don't know specifically what was wrong with Cain's worship. I don't know, and I don't know how his worship necessarily was specifically different. I know some differences, but exactly what God had thought about it, I don't know specifically, except I know this, Cain and Abel knew. And I know that they knew, because Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 tells me that Abel, by faith, offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. You see, Abel had the proper faith. He believed the truth. He knew what God had told him to do, and he did it. Cain didn't. Cain was doing something of human origin, something that presumably he invented, some man invented, but it wasn't what God wanted. God cares how we worship. And when our worship is not according to what God has said in His Word, He's not pleased. It's not a matter of indifference. It's a matter that God is upset. We're not obeying Him. And then we have Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. These men didn't get it. Priests of serving under Aaron, their father. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now it's interesting where the New King James says profane fire, the English Standard Version says unauthorized fire. Unauthorized. Which He had not commanded them. He told them what fire to use. They're using a different fire. Now that might seem to us like a small thing. Well, it's fire. You know, fire is fire. No, fire is not fire. Not if God tells you to use this fire. If God tells you to use this fire, then this fire is the truth. And that fire over there, that's not what He said, that's human. You see, that's not the truth. That's not what God said. And God was displeased to the point of killing them for it. And then we come to 1 Kings, the scripture reading this morning in chapter 12. 26 to 33 in Jeroboam. He had led the northern tribes to separate themselves as a separate nation from the southern tribes. But the problem that he began to realize, as in the scripture reading, was, well, wait a minute, these Israelites are supposed to go down to Jerusalem to the temple, or rather the tabernacle at that time, to worship God and offer their sacrifices with the priests of the descendants of Aaron at certain times of the year, holy days. They're all supposed to go down there. If these people go down there, well, that's the territory of the other nation. That's Rehoboam. That's the people we separated ourselves from. If the people go down there, they're liable to turn and then start serving Rehoboam and want to go back and become part of that nation and turn away from me as king in this northern tribes. So the passage says that he took counsel, or he got advice. He's supposed he took counsel from. Where did he get his advice? Was it from God? Wasn't from God, was it? I don't know who it was from, but it had to be people. It wasn't God. Because what he did was not what God said to do. What did he do? he made calves for the people to worship. And he said, come worship these golden calves up here at Dan of Bethel. Now the passage says that this thing became a sin to the people of Israel. Now I want you to get that. Jeroboam knew that he had changed the plan. But the people were following him. But they were still in sin. They weren't the ones who invented the false worship. But they were still in sin because they were following the false worship. You see, you don't have to be the person who thinks up the human practice that's different from what God says to be wrong. All you have to do is follow it. So whether you're the one who thinks it up or whether you're following somebody who thought it up, but it's not what God said, then the worship is sinful. Now somebody might say, well, of course it was sinful. They're even worshiping the wrong God. They got these idols. It's a false God. But did you notice that wasn't all there was to it? Jeroboam didn't just change gods. He also changed priests. He set up priests who were not descendants of Aaron, the passage says. So God had said that descendants had to be descendants of Aaron. He set up a different feast day, a different time of year, a different day than what God had commanded, verse 32 and 33. Where did he get those ideas? Where did he get the idea of these different, these calves and then these days of worship and these different priests? Where did he get that idea? The passage says he devised them in his own heart. Human worship. It wasn't what God said. And the people who followed what he devised were in sin. Now that is the very illustration of the point we're trying to make today. God tells us what he wants in worship. When people devise something different, we think this would be nice. We think this would be a good idea. The people who devise it are wrong, but so are the people who follow them. If we want the truth, if we want God to be pleased, we must stay with what he says, because that's the only truth that there is. What another one? John chapter 2. Come now to the New Testament. John chapter 2, the principle we said is the same, Old Testament, New Testament, the principle is the same. Not that we worship the same as they did under the Old Testament, but that the principle is the same, that you have to do it the way God said. You must not change it. John 2, verse 13 through 16. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. But he made a whip of cords. He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. What's the problem? Well, actually, Jesus actually cleansed the temple twice. The other time is recorded in other scriptures, Matthew 21, verse 12 and 13, for example. He said, my Father's house should be a house of prayer. See the difference? Now, I know there's some references to den of thieves and so on. So, apparently, there was some corruption, some cheating going on there that may be part of it too. But that wasn't all there was that was wrong with it. Another thing wrong with it was God had a purpose for the tabernacle, the temple. It was a place of worship. They were using it to make money, to make business, a house of merchandise. And Jesus was upset. His zeal for your house has eaten me up, the pastor says as you go on. He was upset by that. Why? Because it wasn't what God said. It wasn't the truth. They had changed from what God said to that which was human in origin. But now today, we still have to follow divine authority, and our authority today is the teaching of Jesus. We do not worship like Israel did in the Old Testament, but it's just as wrong today as it was in all these examples to worship by human teachings instead of what Jesus says. Now, we could go on with other Bible examples, but let's move today. What about some modern examples? Now, I'm not going to discuss in detail any of these examples. What I want to challenge you to do is consider, are these examples in the teaching of Jesus? Are they human? Who came up with them? Can you find a book, chapter, and verse in the New Testament that authorizes these practices? And if you can't, then they're human teachings, and what does that mean? How about teaching or following creeds of men, doctrines of councils that men have made the rules? Can we teach those in our practice to God? Is that teaching what Jesus said, or is that teaching human doctrine? Well, that should be obvious. But what if we follow the teachings that say, to pray to a statue, or bow or kneel before some image in worship, or pray to Mary, or pray to saints, or call some religious leader father, or reverend? How about having the Lord's Supper once a year, once a quarter, once a month, or on weekdays, rather than on the first day of the week? What about involving the church and maybe in our worship activities, but in entertainment, recreation, meals, and so forth? What about instrumental music, choirs, quartets, in our worship? What about celebrating annual holy days like Christmas or Easter? Is that in the Bible? Can you find book, chapter, and verse in the teaching of Jesus? What about churches getting their money rather than by taking up a collection on the first day of the week and everybody giving as they prosper? What about having rummage sales and bake sales and bingo and taking up collections on weekdays and so on? What about requiring tithing that we say people must give 10% or we give pledge cards? What about having women preachers, women church officers? What about burning candles or incense? And we could go on. The point is, can you find authority in the teaching of Jesus for these and other practices? If you cannot find book, chapter, and verse that authorizes, includes, teaches that these practices fit what that says, then doesn't that mean they're human teachings? And don't all these passages that we've been talking about, going astray, following human ideas, going away from the truth, not obeying the truth, wouldn't that fit all of these things? If they're not in the Bible, then some man invented them. Now that means for us to participate in them, we don't have to be the ones that invented them, just like Jeroboam, the people. We don't have to be the ones that invented them. We're following teachings that other people have invented that are not in the gospel. Then we've got the problem that what we're doing is not truth. And God is not pleased. The challenge of worshiping in spirit and in truth is to keep the proper balance, to maintain emphasis on both the spirit and the truth. And the problem that so many face is that we emphasize one at the cost of neglecting the other. And so many times we hear people say, well, it doesn't matter how we worship as long as we worship God sincerely from the heart. What's that saying? That's saying truth doesn't matter as long as we've got a sincere spirit. But others, sometimes in the Lord's church, act as though, well, all that matters is we've got the right acts. We've got the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week and the collection, and we've got prayer and singing. We've got the right acts. And we wouldn't think of attending a church that had any of those unauthorized practices that we just listed. But then when they come, they just go through the motions. They ignore the meaning of what's being done. They daydream. Or in many cases, they just don't come at all. What is that saying? That's saying the spirit doesn't matter as long as we can find our practices in truth. And one is just as wrong as the other. But we don't have to choose either of those alternatives. It's not a matter of either spirit or truth. Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. That's the choice. There's another choice. That choice. The choice of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So what about you and me? How well are we worshiping God? Are we worshiping in spirit and truth? With the proper meaning and according to the Word of God? The teachings of Jesus Christ. Are you a child of God? Have you become a true follower of Jesus Christ? If you're not a Christian, why not become one? Even this morning. Do it because He says to do it. The way He says to do it. Or, have you become a Christian at one time and you're not serving properly? Well, not worshiping properly or not serving according to the truth in some other area of your life and need the prayers of the congregation. Whatever you need, won't you come and make it known as we stand and while we sing.